بسم الله، الحمد لله، نحمده ونستعينه ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا. من يهدي الله فلا مضل له، ومن يضلل فلا هادي له. ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، ونشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله أرسله بالحق بشيرا ونذيرا بين يدي الساعة. من يطع الله ورسوله فقد رشد، ومن يعص الله ورسوله فإنه لا يضر إلا نفسه ولا يضر الله شيئا. أما بعد، my dear brothers and sisters in Islam, as we meet again on Yom al-Jum'ah in this blessed month of Muharram, our new year, and as we are rejoicing in our new Hijri year, we are also saddened and depressed, and sad in the sense of sorrow and grief over somebody mocking on the integrity and honor and prestige of our beloved Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The events of the last few weeks have deeply grappled the Muslim Ummah, but yet again the Muslim Ummah is not justified in the response that they have shown so far. So today I thought that we'll discuss about this controversy, or is it really a controversy, or what's the whole fuss about? You see, brothers and sisters, mocking on prophets, making fun of prophets, is not something new. As much as it may amuse us and stun us, it's not something new. Rather, this is centuries and centuries old work being done, just done at a different time. And how ironic it is that today it is the 11th of Muharram, yesterday was 10th of Muharram, when Rasulullah did the hijrah from Mecca to Medina, and 10th of Muharram came and he saw the Jews living in Medina fasting. He said, "What is wrong with you? Why are you fasting today? What's the deal?" He said, "Today is the day we celebrate." "Celebrate what?" "Today is the day we commemorate." "Commemorate what?" "The emancipation and liberation of a prophet of Allah on the face of this earth, namely, case in point, Prophet Musa alayhi salam, from the clutches of tyranny and oppression of who? Fir'aun." So we're celebrating that how? By fasting. They were not celebrating by pomp and glitter and glamour and fireworks and drum beating, but they were celebrating by fasting. So Rasulullah said these blessed words to them, "Nahnu ahakku bihada." We have a more right to do that, because I am the brother of Musa alayhi salam, Muhammad ibn Abdullah alayhi salam. And we the Muslims have a bigger right on celebrating this freedom of my brother Musa from the clutches of tyranny and oppression in Misr, in Egypt. So he advised the Sahaba that from this day till Qiyamah, you Muslims should fast as a nafil. Of course it's not fard, but it's a nafil, and we get ajr, reward of washing away of the past sins of the last year. Subhanallah. You are mocking about a Prophet of Allah who not only just institutionalizes the beliefs and teaching and rituals of this deen, but attaches to the religion of his previous brother. And then Eid al-Adha. What do we do on Eid al-Adha? We are commemorating the sacrifice of another Prophet of Allah, the father of prophets. And here people have the guts in Europe to make fun of an individual who not only attached himself and his ummah to previous ummahs and previous prophets, but even advocated humility and allegiance and firmness in their might. How ironic it is. Coincident. It's Muharram, celebration of the freedom of Musa Islam. We fast on 10th of Muharram. And as Rasulullah said, be different, Khalif al-Yahud wa al-Nasara. Be different from them by not fasting just 10th of Muharram. Fast at-Tasur'ah wal-Ashura, 9th and 10th, or 10th and 11th. But do fast, why? Because in your fasting you show solidarity, unity. Unity of Muslim Ummah only? No, unity of the Ummahs of Islam from Adam alayhi salam to Muhammad ibn Arabi alayhi salam. Subhanallah, these are the teachings of an individual, and yet people today make fun of him. Is it something that is perceivable, something that is digestible? Yes. Why? Because they made fun of Musa alayhi salam. They made fun of Isa alayhi salam. They made fun of Yahya, Zakariya, and Ibrahim and Ishaq and Ismail. I mean, every prophet that came on this earth, people made fun of them. Saleh and Hud and all these different prophets that came, Yunus, every qawm that came on this earth made fun of their prophets. And those who accepted them defended the prophets, like us, as we're trying in our best. And those who rejected the prophets made fun of them. So we see here that we are at a threshold, we are at a crossroads which is going and dating back thousands of years ago. And today I will share with you some ayats of these different prophets, how their people made fun of them. And what is going on right now is exactly the same. Remember, brothers and sisters, there's only two types of people on the face of this earth. Those who accept prophets of Allah and accept the message of Allah and then believe in Akhirah and Day of Judgment and therefore work for towards it. And there's the other group who reject the prophets of Allah. Kullu al-anbiya. Because al-kufr millatun wahida. Kufr is millah wahida, as the hadith of Rasulullah said, that all of the kufr, all of the non-believers, disbelievers, is one millah. Wa millatul Islam millatun wahida. We are with the people who followed Ibrahim al-Islam. We are with the people who followed Musa al-Islam. We are with the people who followed Isa and Yahya and all these, Zakariya and all these prophets. Don't consider Muslims to be some alien, some new people. Muslims today in 2006 are the same people who thousands of years ago followed Nuh al-Islam. Muslims today are the same who followed Idris and Ismail and Ishaq and Yaqub and Yusuf and all these prophets that came. So we are not different from the previous prophets. And just because we are supporting our prophet, we are no different from those people who supported Isa Islam in spite of all the mockery and tyranny he had to face. We are no different from the people who supported Musa Islam from the middle of that ocean as he walked through the ocean bed and crossed the Red Sea. We are no different from that. Allah says in the Quran that for every prophet there was a different kind of mazah or mizah. There was a different kind of tons. There was a different kind of criticism and critique, and different kind of mockery and fun making of them. Look at Lut al-Islam in Surah 27, Surah Naml, in verse 56. Allah SWT tells us about Lut al-Islam's people, Prophet Lot. فَمَا كَانَ جَوَابَ قَوْمِهِ إِلَّا أَنْ قَالُوا أَخْرِجُوا آلَ لُوتٍ مِنْ قَرْيَتِكُمْ إِنَّهُمْ أُنَاسٌ يَتَتَهَّرُونَ. Subhanallah. The argument of the people of Lut, meaning those who rejected Lut al-Islam, not the followers of Lut. The rejectors of Lut al-Islam, they said, أَخْرِجُوا أَعْلَى لُوتٍ مِنْ قَرْيَتِكُمْ. Kick out, exile Lut al-Islam and his followers. It's kind of like saying, exile all the Muslims in this world today. Put them in one side along with Muhammad al-Islam. Same thing. The words are same. We see that. There are many places Muslims in this world today, in Burma, in Bhutan, in Thailand, where Muslims are in a minority, they are in exile, they are in shackles, they are in very perverse situations, very dire consequences that they have to face. Why? Just because they are saying, La ilaha illallah Muhammad Rasulullah. So they face the wrath of the people. And that is what Allah is saying in Surah Naml, verse number 56, that the people of Lut who rejected him said, أَخْرِجُوا أَهْلَ Lut, kick him out, أَخْرِجْ مِنْ قَرْيَتِكُمْ, from your villages. As if this land is owned by them. إِنَّ الْأَرْضَ لِلَّهِ جَمِيعًا. Allah says, the land is me, I am the king of the land. And how dare you have the audacity to kick my prophet from this land to some other place. And look, what was the zam, what was the accusation, the blame, the tohma they put on Lut al-Islam? They said, أَخْرِجُوا آلَ لُوتٍ مِنْ قَرْيَتِكُمْ إِنَّهُمْ. It is a pronoun, it is a ضمير للجمع. إِنَّهُمْ يعني إِنَّ لُوت وَآلَ لُوت وَأَصْحَاب of the people who follow Lut al-Islam. إِنَّهُمْ أُنَاسٌ يَتَتَهَّرُونَ. People who follow Lut al-Islam and who believe in Allah are people who love tahara, purity. What an irony. Subhanallah. Like there's a saying in Urdu, Ulta Chor Ko Tawal Ko Dal. And in the one who is in the Murtakib al-Ism, the one who is the criminal crime, he is shouting at the judge. He is accusing at the judge, and the judge is supposed to decree upon the criminal. What a tyranny. What an irony. That the one who is on the wrong side of the spectrum
has the audacity, the courage, the power, the wealth, the authority to shout and kick out those who believe in Allah and who pray to Allah. Why? Because they love purity. إِنَّهُمْ أُنَاسٌ يَتَطَهَّرُونَ. Isn't that the same thing that we get sometimes as Muslims? Hey, Muslims are peace-loving people. So blame them, accuse them of terrorism and whatnot, and kick them out. Make a false case against them, pack them on the plane and leave. Times have changed, but the essence has not changed. What I'm trying to show you in this Jummah today, brothers and sisters, that what this is going on around this mockery of Rasulullah and the cartoon, and the audacity and the courage and the stubbornness to reprint it. Yes, it was once, we could have accepted. Once it was printed, done, gone. No! People are challenging our riyah, our himmah. People are testing. How much can these people persevere, absorb? How much can we tease them? How much can we poke them? How much can we pinch them and see if they can say oof or not? I mean, when multiple newspapers in France, in Germany, in Norway, in other these countries are multiply printing again and again, what are they really saying? What message? Forget the message of freedom, put it aside. What message are they saying? They're saying, we are against you by hook or crook. Come and see what you can do. It's an open battlefield, open playing field. Play the game by the rules of engagement and prove it to me that you're wrong. It was a booby trap. It was a booby trap to trap us Muslims to show and prove that, look, Muslims, there's only three words. The underlying statement of all these cartoons are three words. Muslims are violent people. Muslims, violent people. Put this on a placard, put it on the big sky, wrote it around the whole globe, and that was the essence of this cartoon. Muslims, violent people. Did we fall in the trap? Yes. Did we fail the test? Of course, very drastically. The trap was from the kuffar to show that, look, these people don't love peace. They don't love education. They don't love dissemination of knowledge. Rather, they only know the language of firepower and stone power. Pick up stones, pick up petrol bombs and bottle bombs and hurl them at people. That's all they know. So let's test their wit. Let's test their stamina and put this infuriating, inflaming cartoon and prove our point. Muslims, violent people. It's like a law of theory of physics. Force is equal to mass times acceleration. F is equal to MA, and very regretfully and saddened, I feel very saddened today, as talking about this and thinking about this for the last week, how did we react? We reacted in a very shameful manner. For we should ask, every Muslim should ask. I'm not saying that we shouldn't defend. Yes, we should defend. We should respond. Yes, we should respond. It is our due right to respond. Because people of Luther Islam who followed him and who believed in Allah responded. And Allah saved them. But they didn't respond with. Rather, the response should be asking ourselves, what would Rasulullah himself do today? Just think, visualize. Suppose he was alive today and he was told and shown these cartoons, that someone in Norway, in Canada, in Denmark made these cartoons about you, Ya Rasulullah. What should we do? Go back in history and see, did people just make cartoons about him when he was alive on the face of this earth? 1440 years ago in Mecca, people used to do worse thing than cartoons. They used to throw trash at him. Forget that. They used to throw stones at him. Imagine stone hitting you, bleeding. Cartoon doesn't make you bleed. Cartoon doesn't make you hurt, although it does spiritually. They did worse than that. Spit on his face. Abu Jahl, Abu Lahab, these Quraysh, the stalwarts. They're like the tyrannical people of this world today, to say the least. Abu Jahl, Abu Lahab. And they said, yes, come and get us. You have the power? Attack me in Quraysh and Mecca. See what you can do. Hamza ibn Abdul Muttalib came out and said, you dare touch my nephew once more, and I will silence your voice for the rest of your life. That's when their audacity sort of subsided. They said, no. Now Hamza ibn Abdul Muttalib, who's a fierce warrior, he's on their side. See, they like to see the force. Opposition. But before Hamza ibn Muttalib became Muslim, before Umar ibn Khattab became Muslim, they were rampant in the arenas of Quraysh in Mecca, torturing and pestering and testing the wits of these newfound Muslims, teasing them, worse than making cartoons. What was the response of Rasulullah? Pick up stones? Pick up spears and daggers? Gather all the saliva in your mouth, spit on them? Is this what he said? Did he say burn their houses, burn the house of Abu Jahl, Abu Lahab, which is tantamount to burning an embassy in a Muslim country? This is a question that I ask myself first and foremost. And then 1.6 billion Muslims who could not come to grips with their sentiments in the booby trap. Yes, I say this and I declare this and I openly say this. It was a booby trap from the kuffar to test me and you, our wit. It does not mean that we totally shun it and stay away and be numb about it. Oh, I ignore it. It is a booby trap. I should ignore it. No. Show them your response. I love Rasulullah. I will defend Rasulullah. Not in the name of my Prophet, but not with the response that we show today. That's what they tried to do with Lut al-Islam. They said, أَخْرِجُوا عَالَ لُوتٍ مِّن قَرْيَتِكُمْ إِنَّهُمْ أُنَّاسِ يَتَطَهْرُونَ People who rejected Lut al-Islam, they said, kick out Lut al-Islam and his followers because they love purity, they love tahara, they love sanity. They don't love impurity, insanity. They don't love corruption, they don't love perversion, so kick him out. Did they retaliate? No. Allah saved them, and look what a vehement, disastrous punishment Allah gave to the rejectors of Lut al-Islam, the city of Sodom, that even today you cannot pass by that area. Another example from, look at the tyrant himself, Allah relates about him. I'm giving you these ayats about how people mocked previous prophets. So someone today in 2006 or 2005 makes a cartoon about our Prophet Muhammad is nothing new. It's not a new thing. It's a new phenomenon, no. It's alien, no. It is the same thing. It's just that they are testing us. And look how the people of those prophets responded and how we responded. We come to the next example. Prophet Musa al-Islam. What does Allah say about him? In Surah Ghaf, in Surah 40, verses 26, 27, 28, Allah says, وَقَالَ فِرْعَوْنُ And Pharaoh said, ذَرُونِ This is amazing. This word is very resembling to an English word today. You know, kids, if you see youth, teenagers, 13, 14 years old, when they get into a provocative altercation, they say, hold me back, hold me back. It's just like he's trying to show, I'm going to punch this guy, so if you guys don't hold me back, I'm going to punch him. He's like trying to create a fervor. He's trying to stalk up the people, you know, infuriate them, as if really he's cowardice from inside. That's why he's saying, hold me back, because I might, and people get him seriously. They think, oh, he's very powerful, he might punch that guy. That's why he's saying, hold me back, nobody's going to save him from me. And that's what Fir'aun is saying. SubhanAllah, 1400 years ago, Allah sort of resembled, showed the same emotional feeling in Pharaoh, Fir'aun. He says, وَقَالَ فِرْعَوْنُ ذَرُونِي أَقْتُلْ مُوسَى He said, leave me alone, like as if nobody was holding him. But he's saying, leave me alone, I want to kill Musa. Nobody's holding you, oh Pharaoh. So why are you saying, leave me alone? Go ahead, you want to test it? Test your power? Go ahead, try to kill Musa. But he's saying, leave me alone, ذَرُونِي أَقْتُلْ مُوسَى وَالْيَدُ رَبَّهُ Leave me alone so that I can go and kill Musa and let Musa alayhi salam call upon his Rabb, see if his Rabb can save him. Subhanallah. In the jails of India, those Muslim brothers of our own who are detained over there, they get flogged, they get whipped, they get burning coal on their feet, on their toes. And the Hindu master over there in the jail, the warden says, call upon your Lord Allah and see if he can save you in this jail. And he spits on his face. Subhanallah. Times have changed, but the essence, the motive, the goal of humiliating those who believe in Allah and the prophets of Allah is the same. And that's what Fir'aun is saying. Leave me alone, let me kill Musa, attack Musa, and let Musa call upon his Rabb alayhi salam while I am attacking him. Dharuni aqtul Musa wal yadu rabbah inni akhafu an yubaddila deenakum. Look at the accusation Fir'aun made on Musa alayhi salam. Fir'aun says, I fear that Musa will change your deen. Or, if he doesn't change your deen, yudhira fil ardi fasad. He will create chaos, animosity, hatred, bigotry on earth. A prophet of Allah who's come to preach the message of Allah, he's being accused by his own people that he will change your deen or create chaos on earth. How ironic it is that those who call themselves Muslims today and believe in Muhammad and believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they get to face the same bigotry and tyranny. Those who believe in Allah and Prophet Muhammad they are accused by people saying, they have come to change my deen. A young child, a young a young Muslima, she becomes Muslim, 18, 19, 17 year old, young man, 14, 15 year old, becomes Muslim. The parents say, you have changed the religion of your fathers. We are Catholic, we're Protestant, we're Baptist. You have turned against the religion of your fathers. That's the same thing that Pharaoh is saying thousands of years ago. Someone becomes Muslim today and says, I want to be steadfast in my Islam. When they start seeing their own changing, they become fearful. What is this wave? What is this flare that they call Islam? It is gripping the society. Here lies the crux of the issue. Why did that newspaper originally, why did they have the motive, the goal originally, to go on this competition asking the editors that there's a competition of who can come up? Now look at the competition, look at the way it's phrased. Not in praise of someone, who can come up with the best humiliation, best insult in cartoon. If the momentum was who can come up with the best portrayal of Muhammad, at least by some logical sense you can say that in the field of education society, a society that says that they are very literate and very intellectual, you can say that's common sense. But this is so illogical. What kind of competition are you calling about? You ask in the fields of education, in the philosophy of education, you ask the best professors, they'll tell you, by any semantics, by any paradigm, it is a very foolish kind of competition. Because when you compete one another, you compete for what is the best, not what the worst is. When you're insulting someone, you're really implying, let's come up with the worst hate, with the worst humiliation, insult. So they came up with this competition, who can come up with the best cartoon that can humiliate, insult the most central figure of the Muslim Ummah, Rasul alayhi sallam. Now before we get into the whole frenzy, oh they this and that and start doing, did anybody even think about, with a calm nafs, with a cool nafs, sitting down with a deep sigh, drink a glass of water, did anybody think, what forced them to think even in this direction? It's what we call Islam, the wave of Islam. If you pick up the archives of history, forget history, you pick up the archives of just the Danish newspapers, go back the last 5 years, since 9/11, there has been a very exponential, rapid growth of Islam. Danes have become Muslims. Wow, that's like Pharaoh saying, hey, my people are becoming Muslim. They are following Musa. Musa has come to change the deen of my people. Let me start killing him. Let me humiliate him. Let me insult him. Wow, thousands of years ago. Brothers and sisters, Quran doesn't just give you fictitious stories. Quran doesn't just give you nice bedtime stories. Read them. Hey, very good. Let's go to sleep. No. Quran is telling you, relate back this incident to thousands of years ago. What did Pharaoh and his soldiers do? What are the Danes and the Danish people doing? Same thing. When the fury of Islam, as they claim, gripped the Danes and youth, and 17-year-old, 15-year-old, 13-year-old, school-going, middle-school-going people becoming Muslims, the Dane and Danish people got infuriated, they got scared. Wait a second, we're only 6 million here. If they even become a million, that's like a big population. And we hate Islam, whether they say it or not on the face of it. Deep down we know what they want. And that's why this whole thing came up. How can we stop this massive conversion rate? How can we stop these young folks, youth, in schools and colleges becoming Muslim, saying Shahada, Shahada, La ilaha illallah, Rasulullah? Attack the main figure that has brought the message. Attack the credibility, the integrity of the person who brought Quran, Muhammad ibn Abdullah alayhi salatu wasalam. Humiliate him, insult him, so that not for the sake of me and you. By all means, I was reading one article. One of the editors of another Danish newspaper said, this did not go the way it planned. What does this statement mean? Did you ever think about it? Read between the lines. What's the implication? This did not go as it was planned. It was planned for something, it backfired, went the other way. It was planned to stop the Danish youth from becoming Muslims, and lo and behold, it goes all the way up to China and Australia and everywhere. We never meant it like this. What are these statements? These statements are of a very calculated game, and that's what I tell my Muslim brothers and sisters here this Friday, all over the world, 1.6 billion, wherever they're hearing. Learn the rules of engagement. Learn the rules of the game. Play with them with their rules and defeat them in the arena that they call you to challenge you. They challenge you in the arena of cartoon, in the arena of journalism. They challenge you and test you in the arena of intellectualism, in brain power. And you pick up something else, you pick up stone power and fire power. How foolishness of Muslim.
By all means, don't take me wrong. I'm not criticizing our brothers and sisters or the Middle East or every place where they're shouting and rallying. Yes, rallies, peaceful rallies, fine. My address is to those, to that young Muslim who picks up a stone, who has fire in his rage, and he's saying, death to this, death to this. I'm talking to that youth, that if Rasulullah was alive today, would he have been happy seeing you with this stone, throwing at an embassy? Would he hug you even for doing that? Or would he have said, oh youth of Islam, throw that stone down, pick up a book of my seerah, give it as a gift to this cartoonist, give it as a gift, give them a free plane ticket, let them come to some Muslim country, have a convention of all journalists in the world, have a big convention fully paid. These all rich countries have enough in their coffers that they can play bet on these horses in Florida and Alabama and Kentucky derbies. Why can't they sponsor a plane ticket for 5,000 journalists in every non-Muslim country, call them into a central place, show them a tour of Mecca and Medina and tell them, this is the man that you were making mockery of, fun of. This is a history. Learn about it. A two-day workshop, seminar, intensive. Educate them. Tell them. Beat them in their own arena, not in a different arena. Sponsor them. Which journalist will say, I don't want a free ticket. I don't want a free hotel, lodging, boarding in that Muslim country. Hey, everyone likes free stuff, freebies. So this is what our reaction should have been. Not what they had intended, and they won the battle and we lost. They intended to infuriate us and cause the uproar, it came up. Rather, our dilemma is we should have given 5 million free copies of the seerah of Rasulullah in English language, in French language, in Spanish language, in Italian language, and if there's not a Danish translation, get someone busy translating in Danish language, supply to the Danes. 7 million people in Danish, in Denmark, 7 million copies of the seerah of Rasulullah shipped within a fortnight to Danish. Are they going to reject free books? No. Free, coming in a ship compartment. Comes off the port here. Every Danish, take this. Our response to your cartoons, free book on the person that your people made fun of. Believe you me, brothers and sisters, ask yourself this question. Any non-Muslim reading the seerah of Rasulullah, would he then want to make, if they are really true in their niyyah, and read the book seriously, properly, would they want to make a fun about Rasulullah? Ask yourself this question. أَقُولُ قَوْلِ هَذَا وَاسْتَغْفِرْ لَكُمْ وَاسْتَغْفِرْ فَاسْتَغْفِرْ لَكُمْ غَفُورُ رَحِيمٌ. الحمد لله الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على رسول الكريم وعلى آله وأصحابه وسنة بسنة اليوم الدين أما بعد. In conclusion, a couple of other prophets from the Quran and the mockery that they faced. Hud alayhi salam. Nuh alayhi salam in Surah Hud. Allah SWT tells us that he faced the most in terms of making fun, mockery. وَيَسْمَعَ الْفُلْكَ وَكُلَّمَا مَرَّ عَلَيْهِ مَلَوْ مِنْ قَوْمٍ سَخِرُوا مِنْ سَخْر سِخْرِيَّ. Yani, he is making a boat, a big gigantic boat, because Allah alhamahu, Allah inspired him, told him, look, my azab is coming. Those who rejected you, no, they're going to be drowned. But you and your followers should be saved. It's like us, the same thing. Followers of Nuh alayhi salam are like us, Muslims. What do we say? Brothers and sisters, get right. Brothers and sisters, believe in Allah, believe in Rasulullah. Get okay, get organized, get disciplined, believe in Akhirah, believe in judgment, because Qiyamah is coming. A flood is coming, it's like Qiyamah is coming. Ship is there, your ship right now is the shahada of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala Rasulullah. Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah, ashhadu Rasulullah, and believing in it in totality and working with it in totality is your ship, your savior. Same thing. But then when they take the shahada, these Danish people will be becoming Muslims. You go and see the survey. There are so many. There's a rapid, drastic change in the conversion rate. And that's what instigated all this fuss over there. And that is what exactly resembling. That Nuh alayhi salam began building a big boat. And people began to sakhiru min. They started making fun of it. As the riwayah says that Rasulullah told us, that one of the chiefs of his qawm who rejected him said, Ya Nuh, sirta najjaran ba'da kunta nabiyya.
He's making fun of Nuh alayhi salam on his face. Forget about making a cartoon, writing an article. On the face, you're making fun of the person, saying, "Oh Nuh, you have become a carpenter after you were a prophet." Now look, there is something he's acknowledging. This person who's making fun is acknowledging that being a prophet is a very high, mu'tabar, respectable profession. And now that you become a carpenter, you have devalued yourself. Read between the lines, brothers and sisters. Listen to what Allah is saying. Allah is saying that the one who was making fun of Nuh al-Islam acknowledge at least in his vehement distraction that Nuh was much better off being a prophet. Why has he become a carpenter now? But Nuh al-Islam replied back, "Laugh, laugh as much as we want to laugh on us. Mark as much as you mark. For inshallah, our day will come on Yawm al-Qiyamah when we will be laughing at you. We told you, we warned you, didn't listen. Now it's our turn to sit back and relax and smile, and you go through your ordeal of Jahannam." In another place we see in Surah Maryam about Ibrahim al-Islam, Allah SWT tells us, قَالَ رَاغِبُ أَنْتَ عَنْ عَلْهَاتِ يَا إِبْرَاهِيمُ لَإِنْ لَمْ تَنْتَهِي لَأَجُّمَنَّكَ وَهْجُرْنِي مَلِيَّ. Either the father of Ibrahim al-Islam is saying, he's challenging him. Again, the mockery on the prophet. What this khutbah today is, that what the cartoon has done or did is nothing new. If you just open the Quran and look at all these anbiya, what they faced through, there are so many bits and pieces of resemblance to what our Rasulullah is getting. Someone mocks at him, someone writes an article against him, someone calls him a terrorist, someone calls anything to him. They have done this to all of his brothers, from Prophet Adam alayhi salam to Nuh to Idris, all the way to Isa alayhi salam. They did this all to all the prophets, and they never felt shy about it. And now they're doing to our prophet and my prophet and your prophet. Allah says here, رَاغِبٌ عَنْتَ عَنْ عَلِهَتِي. As the father of Ibrahim is saying, are you in disdain, walking away from your gods, your gods? Ya Ibrahim, لَإِنْ لَمْ تَنْتَهِي. If you don't give up this, لَأَجُّمَنَّكَ. I will pelt stones and pebbles on you. وَهْجُرْنِي مَلِيَّ. And get away from me, migrate. SubhanAllah. In another place we see, قَالُوا إِبْنُ لَهُ بُنْيَانٍ فَأَلْقُوهُ فِي الْجَحِيمِ. Remember that very famous thing that they did about Ibrahim al-Islam. They wanted to punish him, so they said, let's burn him. But they said, wait a second, if we burn him, he might just run away and be saved, he might just extinguish the fire. So what's the best thing? Meaning they acknowledged the integrity, the personality of Ibrahim al-Islam. They understood that this is a very big figure. So in order to completely get rid of him, they said, إِبْنُ لَهُ بُنْيَانٍ. A big pit of fire. When they built the fire, they said, oh, wait a second, how are we going to throw him in there? I mean, how are we going to put him? If we drag him over there, he might just run away. How are we going to put him in the fire? They stepped thinking, oh, Project Hamosh. Law of physics was working back then. Who says that the Quran doesn't talk about physics, chemistry, science? They came up with the idea of projectile motion. Let's put him on something, at a catapult, and throw him in the fire. This way, we will definitely make sure that we got rid of him. They, in their own earnest desire, mocked at a Prophet of Allah, Ibrahim al-Islam, who is the great, great, great grandfather of Rasulullah sallam, about whom they make cartoons now. But did they win? No, they lost. Meaning, if there is any silver lining in all of this cartoon controversy, brothers and sisters, it is this, that those who hold arrogance and enmity and hatred and mockery at my prophets, they are butting heads with who? The sovereign, the king, Allah, the one and only. Who are we to pelt stones at embassy? Do we think that we can defend Rasulullah by burning embassies and pelting stones at people? By urging violence? Never! We are fooling our own selves! For Allah is there to protect Rasulullah and his integrity. What did Allah say in Surah Muhammad? وَاللَّهُ يَعْسِمُكَ مِنَ النَّاسِ. Sufficient. كَفَاهُ اللَّهُ. Allah is saying, I will protect you, Ya Rasulullah, يَعْسِمُكَ مِنَ النَّاسِ. Not just Muslims, because there are Muslims even who attack Rasulullah. Forget about non-Muslims. Allah is saying, I will protect you, Ya Rasulullah, from nas, from humanity. So if Allah is there to take care of our beloved Rasulullah, why do we get in a frenzy of violence? Rather, we should be doing what the followers of Musa and Isa and Ibrahim and Yahya and Zakariya and Ishaq and Yusuf alayhi wasalam kulluhum did. They became firm and steadfast in their deen, and they did da'wah more. This is the time to do more da'wah than violence. This is the time to do more spreading. They don't know about the Shakhsiyya of Rasulullah. They don't know my Prophet. They don't know your Prophet. They don't know our beloved Prophet ﷺ, who was what? وَمَا أَرْسَلْنَاكَ إِلَّا رَحْمَةً لِلْعَالَمِينَ. We have not sent you except but as a rahmah, mercy to the world. Not just earth and moon and sun, to the world, my brothers and sisters. Why should we get in the booby trap? They set up the booby trap, we fell into it. Rather, we should be right now being firm in our deen, practicing. You know why they made a cartoon about Rasulullah? It's because I am at fault. You are at fault. 1.6 billion Muslims are at fault. Are we implementing the Sunnah of Rasulullah in its totality? Are we really on the Sunnah of Rasulullah 100%, 100%? Every day of mine, every night of mine, every second of breath of mine that I breathe in and out, am I fulfilling the Sunnah of Rasulullah? This is a question to ask. Allah has killed two birds with one stone of this cartoon. One, a message to the non-Muslims, be ready, whether you like it or not, the ghalba of my deen, Islam, is coming, you should accept this man or not. The other stone that Allah has hurled at Muslims, are you ready, ya ummat Muhammad alayhi salam? You who call yourself Muhammadi, are you ready, alayhi salam, in his footsteps, in his sunnah? For if you are not ready, that is why people are keep on gonna do. I believe sincerely and utmostly that if the 1.6 billion Muslims practice the Sunnah of Rasulullah in its totality, entirety, no one would dare make a photograph or picture or cartoon of Rasulullah. Why? Because the Sunnah is so sublime, so peaceful and tranquil, so sweet, so cooling, that it calms the nerves of people. And that is the reason that Rasulullah, he soothed the people, not with stones and firepower, with his lifestyle. What does Sunnah mean? What does seerah mean? His life, his actions, his sitting, his getting up, his sleeping, his walking, his talking, his interaction. This is his sunnah that calmed the nerve of that lady who used to throw trash on him. This is his sunnah who calmed the nerve of that person who spit on his face. This is his sunnah who calmed the generations to come in time who were bleeding him to death, that his foot and his shoes were filled up with blood from stones hurled at him. This is what our response should have been. The Sunnah. Come learn about the Sunnah. Take a free book. How many of us, since the cartoon began, how many of us should ask themselves sincerely, how many of us in their sincerity pick up the book of Seerah in English and give it to your colleague at work, to your neighbor in your street, to your friend at school, to your friend. Read. You're reading about the cartoon controversy. For a change, it's only $10, this book. Don't tell me that any Muslim in America cannot afford a $10 book. How many of us have bought these books and just given free? It's just like giving free Quran. When they attack Allah and Deen, people publish Quran, give free Quran. Since 9/11, Quran became ran out in the bookstores. Why? People becoming curiosity, interested. What is this book of God that says blow up buildings and bomb? No! Let me read it in my hand. When they read it firsthand, they say, wait a second, I should become the Muslim. They went out searching in Quran for an ayah that said blow up building a bomb. They couldn't find any, but they rather became guided to the light of Islam. So now it's turn after Quran. Of course, we have two things in our Islam, Quran and Sunnah Rasulullah. Now it's time to publish as many books of seerah. Give it free, just like you give free Quran, give free. And my call to you, brothers and sisters, is if you can at least give one book of the seerah to one non-Muslim, you have done your job in standing in solidarity, foot to foot, shoulder to shoulder to Rasulullah. At least on Yawm al-Qiyamah you can say that Rasulullah, when you face him, you shake his hand, you drink the water from his hand, from the Kawthar, and you, after drinking from his hand in the Kawthar, you kiss his hand and say, Ya Rasulullah, when the controversy of cartoon came, at least I gave a book about you to them so that they could learn. Subhanallah. This is what we should have been doing, and look what we did in earnest desire. We also want to remind that brothers and sisters, that in this time of need, we need to give, donate more, sadaqah. Brother Musa is here again. If you remember last time when I came for khutbah, he was here, we were talking about, some of you pledged your donation, it hasn't come in yet. Now is the time, he's here for that Ikna Relief Center for the homeless sisters, the shelter, plus giving food for the homeless on Sundays. And there are many projects that Ikna Relief supports and sponsors here locally.
I already talked about this, I don't need to repeat, but in this time, in the time of reflection, Rasulullah will be very happy right now, his ruh, when he will know that you as a Muslim helped another sister in Islam or brother in Islam here in America who was destitute, who was poor, who didn't have the electricity bill to pay, the utility bill to pay, who didn't have the money to pay the rent and was facing eviction, and you helped on this Friday in solidarity of defending his integrity that they try to portray in the Quran. And may Allah give us all tawfiq to give sadaqah. And remember the box here for the Muslims over here who arranged this Jummah, because they need to also sponsor the Jummahs, inshallah. Allahumma ighfir al-muslimina wal-muslimat, al-mu'minina wal-mu'minat, al-ahya minhum wal-amwat.